Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all were fairly quiet in praise and worship service, weren't they? You weren't listening? They caught up in their thing. They're not listening to us. This is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to make you keep saying that over and over. You just need to say it over and over during the day, not so much here. We know you when you mean it when you say it away from here. Amen? All right. Okay. How many of you heeded my word last week and got the CD from the week before? I know that Gloria did, because I got a phone call. She said, I got it. I got it. And she wasn't talking about the CD. She's talking about what's on the CD. Nobody? Did you listen? No. Like a man that doesn't lie. Well, good. Now it's your turn to listen. If that doesn't make you mad or make you glad or something, we're going to need to resuscitate. We need something miraculous to happen. It's about how much God loves his bride, and I think Gloria told me it was rated R, but I'm not sure. I think she called it adult. Not near as much as I could have done, I promise you. I have some great pictures in my mind. All right, tonight I want to talk to you a little bit, again, or continue from Sunday about our purpose. That sound good? Okay, well, let's pray then, for those that it didn't sound good. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. More than that, we trust you. We hunger and thirst after your word for us tonight. Use this vessel to meet your needs for your purpose. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that says amen. Okay. Now, my wife gave me a title for this message. And I was going another direction, and she said, no, you've got to preach that one. So, okay. The title of the message is Purpose or Porpoise? You'll understand in a minute. Purpose or Porpoise? It's based on Jonah and the whale, or the large fish. Now, I know that porpoise can't eat a man, but it's a catchy title. Purpose or Porpoise? Y'all remember that when we're through. I know you will. If you need a subtitle, it's Am I Needed by God? Am I Needed by God? I want to show you in the scripture tonight how much he's determined to use us. Okay? And why we falter and fail and doubt that he doesn't have a purpose for everybody, I don't understand. But we do resist that. We argue. Are you ready for the Luke 12, 6 and 7? If you'll go there. Okay. The Bible says, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And in the Bible, two copper coins weren't very much. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now you see, I don't even know how many hairs on my head. And I don't know how much of my wife. But so God has more detail and more interest, or more interest in details than I do. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. How about all the sparrows? Since he put you, gave you dominion over all of them. All right? So God is, he's going to convince us that we have great value. All right? Genesis 1, 27 and 28. You'll find this is one of my favorite scriptures. If we don't get this one, we're not ever going to do anything for God. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. Now, the caption here for me is, if God is valuable, so are we. Does anybody here think that God's not valuable? That he doesn't have a purpose? He doesn't have a plan? But let me say it the other way. God is valuable. He's important. He has a purpose and he has a plan. If it's good, let's go. Okay, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So if we say that God is important, God is valuable, God has a plan, God has a purpose. He created us in His likeness and image. Everybody agree? So that puts a value on us. All right, next one. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over everything. Subdue it and have dominion. That takes action. You know that? You can't sit in your living room and subdue and have dominion. And he said over everything. I just didn't read it all. He said over everything. Now, to me, that gives an assignment of importance and gives you power to accomplish what he has in mind. And he has something in mind. All right. Man was never created without purpose. Genesis 2:15. From very beginning, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now listen, that may sound like a funny scripture to you, but it is not. From time begins. From the beginning of time, God created a man for a purpose. Now we all know it's fellowship, we got that down. But that's too easy, that's not the end of it. He said, take care of what I made. So everybody that's ever been born is still under this umbrella. Take care of what I've made. So everybody has that purpose. Now that doesn't mean that we want to have Earth Day. Please, don't hug a tree. Don't kiss the ground. Don't worry about global warming. I'm not talking about that. See, subdue and have dominion is not worrying about global warming. You can't worry and have dominion. You can't be fretting about, Gore's boar speech, and you can't worry and have dominion, and you'll never subdue. Subdue the talk with your dominion, your belief in the Word. Oh, y'all are getting excited, I think. All right, let's go to Jonah. I'm going to give you an example of God's determination to use. We kind of sometimes think that God gets rough with us. It's mostly because we would rather be in the belly than on the purpose. We'd rather be in the porpoise than on the purpose. It's our choice. Let's start reading. I want you to notice something. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, anytime God says something, you'll never hear him say, don't do anything. Okay? Second verse, arise, go. Does that sound like subdue and take dominion? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. Don't cry for it. You can't subdue and take dominion bawling either. Go to Nineveh. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. Now, what's the purpose here? God is worried about the city of Nineveh. And so he's chosen a man to go speak for God. So one of the things that we will always be assigned to for purpose is that we will speak for God. Verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee. It doesn't sound like subdue or take dominion. And it doesn't really sound like he had a purpose. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that you can't get out of the presence of the Lord? There's no place on the earth that God's not present. So we're also realizing that when we do turn our back on a purpose, we're a fool. We've deceived ourselves. We think we can get away from the purpose. So he ran away from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Who sent it? You see? The wind, you can't run away from the wind either, by the way. The presence of the Lord, in this case, is the wind. Now, he wasn't about to sink this ship because that would destroy the purpose. Now, you and I know that, but if you were on that ship, we might have some second thoughts. 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. Now, this is called false peace. I was amazed that he was just asleep. I guess what I'm trying to say is just because you have some peace doesn't mean you're in the purpose. Let me say it another way. If you already got a word from God and you're not doing it, I don't care how much fun or peace you think you're having, you're headed for a porpoise. Okay? You're going to end up in a belly ride. You're not going to like it. 6. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." 7. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. You think that was an accident? You think that was just a roll of the dice? Even if it was, God controls dice too. So, even luck itself was singling out Jonah. 8. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us?" All right, the next thing we're going to notice is that when we are refusing God's purpose, we are hurting other people. Everybody that's around us, we're hurting. It doesn't just affect us. Us is going to have to do something about it. They said, "What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and of what people are you?" 9. And he said to them, he said religion. He said what they wanted to hear. He might have just put up a testimony where it was really real or not. He said to them, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord." Well, I know that part's a lie. I don't know about the Hebrew, but I know he wasn't afraid of God because he was asleep in the belly of that boat. Right? And he knew he was running from God. That's just dumb. That's just dumb. "The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, listen carefully, "Why have you done this?" Let's point to it. When you're trying to run from God, you're hurting. You're hurting everything around you. And we have the right to say, "Why are you doing this?" "For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." This guy's really bright. "Oh, I fear the Lord, and I'm running from him." Wrong kind of fear. One thing you note is that when people are running from a purpose, they're not smart. And they will prove it with their own mouths, with their own actions. They will prove they're not smart. You as a church do not ever have to judge anybody. They will judge themselves. Remember that. You're out of place. You are not in God's purpose if you judge people. They will do it to themselves. 11. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. I'll get it right. I would suggest to you that God was getting impatient. 12. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." 13. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land because they didn't want to throw anybody overboard." Right? I mean, none of us are interested in just casting somebody away. "They rowed hard, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them." Now, who's going to win this fight? Man, the best question in the whole world when we're resisting God is, who do you think is going to win this fight? Come on, it's a good thought. Who is going to win this fight? He doesn't even have to work at it. He just stirs up the water. And stirring up water comes in many forms. But you will not row against it. Verse 14. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man. And do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." Okay. If these other people are smart enough to know that God's going to do what He pleases, why wasn't Jonah? It pleased God for him to go to Nineveh. He's gonna have somebody go to Nineveh. He's gonna do that. God has got a purpose. He has a reason for this day. And in this day, He's gonna fulfill a purpose. And it's gonna be for somebody. Always remember that. The purpose of God is for someone. It's not against Him. Now, right about this time, Jonah probably thought God was against him. He wasn't against him. He was against what he was doing, or what he wasn't doing, or both. You know, I always said that God is never against divorce. Don't tell people God's against divorce. He's only against the things that cause divorce. That's what He's against. God's never against a man. He's against disobedience of that man. That makes sense? And it's kind of like if you bring Jackson in here, and I tell Jackson, "You need to go sit over there," and he doesn't do it, who's going to win? I'm going to win. And I'm weaker than God. He is intent on that happening, and it's going to happen. And for us to resist it in any way, we're looking for an uncomfortable trip. One that we didn't intend to take. Verse 15, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. Now what do we have here? You really think God would do this? No, I know He would. I saw it here. I know He'd do it. And the proof is that whenever He was pitched into the sea, it got calm. So now we have God's approval on the men that threw him overboard. Come on. Y'all don't like that picture, but it's God's approval on the men that threw him overboard. God's approval on now Jonah being in the sea. And things calmed down. I don't think Jonah really thought that this was the answer he was looking for. And I don't really think that he had a lot of confidence that this was going to turn out good. Come on, put yourself in his shoes. I'm trying to see from his eyes. He thought this was a disaster. Life is through as he knew it. As we sometimes think. 16. Do you understand what I'm going for? I'm going for you and I, what to expect when we disobey, when we don't follow God's purpose in our lives. Rough seas, rough life. Let's even go further. It looks like there's absolutely no hope. Right now, in Jonah's mind, this sea is going like crazy. Can you picture this? This is a raging storm. They thought the boat was going to sink, and now he's in the sea. Now, I don't know if you've been in the sea very far away from a boat, but I can promise you this, it's not encouraging. It's not encouraging. Now, I'm going to show you what the men did. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now, the good part of this, remember this, in God's chastising, He still has good for everybody. These men were so affected by the storm and by the instant ceasing of this storm that they, let's just say, they gave their heart back to God. I mean, they started sacrificing and repented and made vows. What brought about the vows? They didn't do anything wrong. It's a good thing, right? God may be using your resistance to accomplish another purpose. You understand? Sometimes we go through, because of our honoriness, God can cause other people to come back to Him, to make new vows, new purposes for themselves. The only thing you better watch out for now is if you got on this boat, they might be a little quicker to throw somebody over. Yeah, they found that to be successful. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I have scuba dived with fish this big. They're real. They can swallow a whole diver, whole, gear and all. There's been recorded instances of right out here, 20, 30 miles offshore, that they call Jewfish, swallow divers. In Cozumel, they're going to call them grouper. They taste good. Okay. Thinking about that already. He was in the belly of... Can you imagine being in the belly of anything for 3 days and three nights? You know, he wasn't in a little dinghy sloshing around in somebody's the sea, like the cartoons I've always seen, sloshing around in the belly. This was a nasty place. At least the air was stale. At least we know that. Stunk. God had to do something miraculous to keep this man alive in a belly of any kind. So we know that the sea was rough on him. The boat ride was rough on him. We know that the fish was the ride in the belly, the porpoise, whatever you want to call it. This was rough. All because, why? He turned from God's purpose. He thought he could get away from God. All right, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. First smart move he's made in this whole story. What in the world? Why did it come to this before you pray? Come on, let's get in Jonah's shoes for a minute. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. What? Really? This is a new one. I thought God heard and answered every prayer. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But I will sacrifice to you. Now look what's going to happen. 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He didn't just pray. Got a little bit of a revival here. What you want to think that he might have said some vows, like those guys on the ship. He might have renewed some vows. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Now, how many of you, when you were serious with God, you told him you would do anything he'd tell you to do? Come on, I need to see some heads going like this. I know you did it. Don't lie to me. All right. I will pay what I have vowed. I will do what I said. I will do what you said. Because I said I would. Salvation is of the Lord. Let me say that another way. Where I'm at, there's no other hope. Where I'm at, there's no other hope. Now, why do we have to get in that situation before we make promises and turn around? But we do, right? The purpose of God is the only thing that's important on the face of this earth. Why? It's important to me. It's for my goodwill and good life. It is for the people that are around me that I can affect. If I care anything about anybody else, the purpose of God is what's going to keep them safe. This is important to Nineveh. Their salvation is going to come through the obedience of this man. The world is not about us only. That's the worst part about Christians, is they go inside their house and shut the door and they forget about everybody else. And they're supposed to be in Christ Jesus who's thinking about everybody else. Okay, Jonah chapter 3, verse 15, or 1 through 5. I'll get it right. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. What does God say the second time? Count on this. No matter how far you run, no matter how much you ride in the belly, the next thing you hear is going to be the same thing that you heard the first time. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Count on Him. He knew what He was saying the first time He said it, and He's not changing His mind. The second time saying, arise, this is exactly what was told the first, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you, or that I've told you. Okay, let's see. I can go there and preach, or I can spend some more time in the belly. Or it might get worse. I don't know what that would be. Please. That's kind of funny, But let me tell you something. That's our option. We will do what God tells us to do, or we will just, maybe the next time, instead of riding around in the pre-manure stage, we'll ride around in the manure stage. It's not going to get better, but it might get worse. Come on, this is serious stuff. This is verse 3. Some of those digestive enzymes must have given him a little sense, or a lot of drinking of salt water. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Just like that. Or it could have been. According to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. It was a 3-day journey in extent. It took 3 days to go through Nineveh. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." All he did was say what... All God wanted him to do was say what he told him to say. What do you think? Jonah was so strong, he's going to overthrow Nineveh? A lot of things come to my mind here. One, God cared about Nineveh. He just wanted them to be told about if they continued, what was going to happen. Okay? Now, guess what? He cared about Jonah. And I promise you, in some of that conversation, he told Jonah, if you continue, you're coming out of this fish, but you ain't going to like the way you come out. You hear me? I don't mean to be rude, but we think we have a choice. Christians really think that free, free, free means you have a choice. Well, you do. Purpose or porpoise? That's the choice. It's always the choice. And the good part about it, God is such a good God that if we choose the purpose, we'll be blessed. He will cover us, provide for us. He'll take care of us. Even in the porpoise, he's doing that, but the ride is not so good. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. A man that had a hard time believing God told them they were in trouble. They believed God. What did I just say? I said that you didn't have to be the greatest faith giant, the greatest man or woman of God. You didn't have to be the most obedient. Just give the word and watch it change things. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Guess what happened? They didn't meet the porpoise. What shall we draw from this? This is a nice little story. It's a nice children's story. Children love this story. I hope adults get the story. I don't care if they love it or not. I hope they just get it. So now we've told this lie, nice little historical thing. Would never happen today. Happens every day. A, we are important to God's purpose and plan. Listen, the accuser of the brethren is faithful. And every day, he tells you that you're worthless, that you have no purpose, and that everybody's doing every great thing except you and you're left behind. We don't share that with each other, so we don't understand that that's the same message told everybody. From young to old, everybody in there has heard it more times than you want to hear it. But I started out showing you that you are very important to God. How important? So important that if he has to, he'll cause a storm, cause a boat to look like it's going to be wrecked, cause a fish to swallow you. And finally, when you finally pray and agree, you can get spit out on land. To do what? What he told you to do in the first place. Why? Because who he's going to talk to is important. Nineveh was important. Nineveh was so important that the pressure was put on Jonah. Amen? You see, if I really care about people, I'm not going to get mad at God for putting pressure on me. Come on. If I've got to take a little cruise inside of a fish's belly to save some lives, then if I care about people, I'll take the cruise. Amen? Purpose. My purpose is for a purpose. My purpose is for God's purpose. God's purpose is far beyond anything that I could ever understand. So just do it. And if I don't see a miraculous thing happen that minute, so what? God had a purpose for telling me to do that, telling Jonah to do that, and his purpose was for good. All right, B, nothing is by accident. All is planned, and all is under control. It was under control when they thought they were going to sink, right? It was under control when they thought they were murdering a guy by throwing him overboard. It was under control when the fish came and swallowed him. And I promise you, not one of those circumstances, not one of those situations, if you were there, you would truly believe God was in control. All you would have believed is this, my name is mud. It's always planned and it's always under control. C, God creates and calls for purposes, not porpoises. You never were called for a porpoise. You were called for a purpose. And when you fulfill that purpose, you're going to find out you're called for another purpose. There's no end to this. Why? Because when you fulfill God's purpose, you get extremely blessed. And God is in the blessing. He wants you blessed. So He'll give you a job that pays well. How about that? The purpose pays well. And you just keep those coming and keep those coming. And you are not responsible for the outcome. You are responsible for the obedience. Okay? You are responsible for the obedience. That means when God comes and speaks and says, go and do, and that's what you do. Because it's that you already know that it's for a purpose, for someone else. And that excites me to know that if I'm going to be used, it's going to be for other people. That excites me. I don't know if it does for you, but it does me. I don't want to be wasted for me. My goodness, I can't think of anything worse than spend a life and not change anything. D, God instructs or chastises for His purpose. And it's usually to get us out of the belly ride. So He's fulfilling two purposes. One is to get you out of the mess that you created. Two, so that you can move on and do what He asks you to do. Okay? So why don't we just believe that whatever we think is holding us back and down right now, all that is a little porpoise time so that we're being chastised, corrected, so that we can go on and move on and do the work that He really wants us to do. It's going to be for other people. Amen? Come on, y'all don't seem excited about that, but I'm trying to lay something on you here. E, God will get His purpose accomplished. Will you? Well, it depends on if you want to be blessed or not. Do you want to be blessed or do you want to take a ride? Y'all are quiet as all get out tonight. Maybe you're just thinking about that fish's belly. Why do you want to think about that? Why don't you think about the blessings for obeying? Then maybe you can start talking back to me a little bit. God will get His purpose accomplished. You can take that as an assurance or a threat. I would take it as assurance if I were you because the threat is scary. God will get His purpose accomplished. Do you want to be blessed or do you want to take a ride? All right, F, whatever belly you're in right now or whatever ride you're on, you pray and praise and obey your way out of it. There's only one way out of the belly that you're in right now, whatever that is, and that is to pray and to praise and to obey your way out of it. Well, what have I got to praise about? I'm still in the fish's belly. You want out? Do you want out? If you want out, you better begin to praise. Because you are people of faith. And what you see by faith is who you are and where you are. So if you see yourself in the belly, well then don't praise. Just thank Him for the belly ride. But if you want out, thank Him, praise Him, give Him praise for being out. But you better promise to obey when He takes you out. Because the fish is still ready. He can spit you out and eat you too. Same, just within seconds. I'll bet you this time, Jonah didn't try to run from the presence of the Lord. Not even one sidestep. What do you think? Maybe he didn't even have one thought of disobedience. He could still smell the belly. All he was looking for was a bath. And he was looking at his map to see, punching his GPS to find out the shortest route to Nineveh. Right? If he could have called a taxi, he would have. He'd have got there as quick as possible because he remembers the fish. You know, if we were real smart people, we would remember these belly rides longer. See, God, when we sin, when we do wrong, when we do what He did here, God forgives and casts them as far as the east is from the west. But isn't it amazing that He leaves the memory in us? Not in Him, in us. Why? It's information. It's information. I can refer back to that information and say, oh, I don't think I want to do that again. That's why God is good in that area. Oh, yeah, I remember that hurt. I don't want to do that anymore. Oh, man, that cost me a fortune. I don't think I want to do that again. That cost me way too much time and energy. Let's not forget the belly. If you're in it, pray, praise, and obey your way out of it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. God loves you so much that He will swallow you just to get you to make sure that you don't do that again. Now, I have a part two to this. I'm going to do something I don't usually do, and that's just stop right now. Right now. Because I see some of you sleepy. I don't care if you're sleepy or not. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm trying to keep you out of fishes' bellies. I know some people in here right now are so deep in fish's belly, they're about to come out on the other end. That's not the end you want to come out. You want to be placed on the beach out of the mouth. Right? May not be the best ride, but it sure beats the worst. Are you trying to scare me? No, I'm not trying to scare you. If I was trying to scare you, I'd pull a gun on you and say, you get to obeying God. That won't work, but it'd make you afraid. I don't want you to be afraid of me. I'm nothing. I want you to understand that God is going to get His purpose accomplished. And He loves you so much and trusts you so much that He'll tell you His purpose. And all He wants you to do is say, sir, yes, sir. I'm on my way. Don't buy you a boat ticket and go the other direction. What a goof. We do it. Everybody in here has done it. Everybody in here has done it. And everybody still has a little fish smell on them. You need to get it in your nostrils so you remember. I don't want to go back there again. Amen? Stand with me, please. God has a purpose. He had a purpose when He made you. He knew what He was going to tell you to do. And what He tells you to do is good. And He'll bless you for it. And your obedience will bless others. If you get in trouble, pray, praise, and obey your way out of it. Is this too complicated? Sounds pretty simple to me. The complicated part is to make sure we don't run the other direction. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight for this word. This was not a good little story. This was fact. This was a truth. It was a warning to us. It was information for us. It was blessing to us if we'll obey. Your people saying tonight that they wanted You. They wanted a coal of fire to touch. They wanted to move into Your presence, past priest and people and everything else. Let this word that was given tonight move into them, create life and that more abundantly because they receive it with thanksgiving. Let it not be stolen in Jesus' name. Let it not be stolen. Let something we said here tonight stick in the mind forever so that we won't need so many fish. We love You with all of our hearts, Lord. More than that, we trust You. We trust You that when You tell us something to do, it's for a sure purpose. That we trust You in, so we just do it. We don't think about it, we just do it. For these things that we know have happened tonight, because we prayed and we've agreed in Jesus' name, we give You thanks and we give You praise. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I thank You for loving us. I thank You for caring for us, and I thank You for caring for others. I thank You for using us, Lord. I thank You that Your vision is so much better than ours, and if we learn to trust You, we will ride in the high places, not in the low places. With all of our hearts, we give You praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Use us. Use us to grow ourselves and to grow this church and to grow this community. And we will be forever grateful to You. We thank You and ask You in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, say amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.